Mark Lentz is our guest today. He's the Assistant Executive Director of the Kansas State High School Activity Association, and he's busy probably all the time, but now he's getting even busier as we get into the fall sports season across the state of Kansas. I would imagine you're putting on some miles, running across the state, making sure everything's ready to go, right, Mark?
That is correct. I think I've put about 4,500 miles on the vehicle here in the last 2.5 weeks doing schools meetings for officials, but I think it's well worth it because they make a big difference in the games in taking care of the kids on the field.
Well, let's give a little background of yourself. What were you doing before you became employed there at Cation?
Well, before I took this position, I spent 12 years at Paola High School on the eastern side of the state as the activities director and assistant principal. And then prior to that, I spent 3 years in J. Hawk Glenn High School as a high school principal and 9 years in Missouri teaching and coaching. So kind of seen the whole gamut of things and took this position. This is year number 6.
Wow, it goes by fast. Seems like you just got there, man.
I agree very much.
Well, let's lots of different topics I wanted to discuss with you that some people around here have talked about. And, of course, we cover high school athletics on a regular basis out here in north central Kansas. So let's start with one of the big reasons why you're traveling across the state, and that's officiating. I know it seems to be an issue across the country, not just in Kansas, but it's getting a little bit harder to find people to officiate, right?
It really is. I don't know the exact reasons why. I think obviously there's multiple, situations or reasons, but there's certain areas of the state are lacking more than others, but a lot of that has to do with just population as well. But Northwest Kansas definitely is one area that we are probably short. We do get a lot of help from Fort Hays State University and what they do through their intramural program, which is beneficial, but the problem you get into is a lot of these individuals get jobs after college, and sometimes those jobs do not allow them the freedom to work, say, a junior high game or a JV game that may start at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Mark Lentz is our guest, Assistant Executive Director of the Kansas State High School Activity Association. So you are, give me, like, football. You're in charge of football, right, for Kasia?
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of in charge administrator for the sport of football, wrestling, and track.
Okay, so wrestling track, you got a little bit of time. Of course, I'm sure you're working on this all year long, but football probably is a big focus right now for you. Are there any new rules or things that fans out here in North Central Kansas should be aware of with the high school football season approaching and beginning next week?
There were not a lot of major rule changes. Some of the changes probably are things that most fans wouldn't even notice. From, at one time, the mouthpiece that all athletes must wear couldn't be clear or white I'm not sure what the reasoning behind it was, but that's changed this year. We just want a kid to have a mouthpiece, and no matter what the color, we don't care as long as they are protected in that way. There's a new glove rule. Basically, it's just there for the fact of making sure every kid has an equal opportunity with the different types of football gloves, which, 20 years ago, we weren't talking about football gloves, so that has changed as well.
What about, and I just saw a link here, and I went to it on the Kasia website. It has pictures and explaining the legal jerseys, pants, and pads. Now, I hope you guys aren't super critical like the NFL is in some cases, but just explain what that's all about.
Yeah, a lot of times, I don't know if people realize that before a game ever starts, the officials will ask the head coach if all of their players are legally equipped. And sometimes I wonder if people understand what legally equipped really is, and that's what it means. Is all the way from the fact that it's the helmet, the mouthpiece, the chin strap that has the four attachments, all of the pads, all the way down to the knee pads, as well as, I know it may sound funny, but shoes.
So we were talking about the code and what you need to wear, and you were talking about shoes was where you were at before we got
right
put off.
Yeah, I know that seems insignificant in the big scheme of things, as obviously everybody wears shoes. But it's just the fact of showing, the importance of wearing all the pads and wearing them for the protection of those individuals playing. Not just the ones that are wearing the uniform properly, or the knee pads, the hip pads, the thigh pads. It's for the protection of those that may be tackling them or blocking them or getting blocked by them as well.
I would imagine the biggest thing that you deal with, or at least it's a point of conversation quite a bit, is player safety. We've heard quite a bit across the country and maybe blown out of proportion, maybe not, depends on which side of the table you're on. In regards to football, we've seen it in National Football League about concussions and player safety, college football, certainly high school, going all the way down to Pee Wee League football. How difficult is that challenge, and how much work does it take for you guys with the Kansas State High School Activity Association to be on top of the latest research and technology to make sure that the guidelines are in place to keep our young people safe when they play football?
You know, it is a big very important part of the game today. And I think it always has been. It's just today, education-wise, I think we know more than we've ever known before. And a lot of it has to do with a lot of the money that is spent for research, even at the National Football League level. And I know the National Federation has spent a great deal of time and energy in learning more about, you know, what causes concussions, how do you recognize a concussion, how can you prevent some of these from taking place. Obviously, there's sometimes you can't prevent anything, but, you know, you try to minimize risk, and I think that is probably the term that, that I use the most in the fact that, you know, it's not always a game of, that is completely safe, but we minimize risk with rules. In reality, the game's changed a lot. You know, I talked to the officials about the fact that, you know, 30 years ago, you know, you didn't see people running out of shotgun formations. You didn't see them running, you know, trips to one side or double-doubles or quads to one side. And why do people spread out now? They like to have all these angles. And with all the angles means there are a lot more open field big hits, unlike 30 years ago where people kind of, you know, kept things within the box, so to speak. So what has happened because of some of these changes in the game, the rules have changed with rules like targeting, hits on defenseless players, excessive hits, or the hits that we consider to be unnecessary.
We spoke with Gary Musselman. It was shortly either before or after the Class 4A split into two divisions. And I remember when we were talking with Gary, and I kind of reading between the lines when we talked to him at the time, was because I personally was not a big fan of splitting divisions. I'm not a big fan of 4A being split. Not a big fan of having, you know, where does it end, I guess, was always my question. If 4A splits, then 3A, then 2A, and we've already have an 8-man split and 1A split, which that one, of all the splits, that's the one I understand the most. And what Gary kind of told me was, listen, we do what the member schools, I mean, we're representing the member schools. I mean, they can direct us as to where they want to go, and if we can make that happen, then if they come to us with a proposal or if they're in agreement and we can implement it, then that's our job to do that. So for me, reading between the lines, I took that as we might not be cool ourselves with maybe splitting into two divisions because it makes your guys' job harder. You've got more sites, officials being in different sites, different playoff brackets and everything else. But at the same time, that was something that 4A really wanted to do and all the members voted on it. Which leads me to the other thing is that now with player safety, I know there was a proposal that was presented to you guys from Class 3A, and I just kind of want to get your feeling on it because I think there's maybe either misinterpretation or misinformation or maybe both sides aren't being represented fairly on this thing in regards to what is proposed and what would Case should be willing to do about having 3 games in 10 days, which has been going on for a long, long time. One of the questions been asked of me is, why hasn't this come up a lot sooner? Why in 2016 are we now worried about 3 games in 10 days? I know I threw a lot out at you there in the last 30 seconds, but how could you best summarize what was presented to you, and then where do you go from here with that type of proposal?
You know, and that did come to the executive board. Actually, it went to athletic director a little bit first, and then it came to our executive board. And now the timing was, I think, probably the biggest issue when our board looked at that and talked about that the fact that it came after there was already a cycle established for the next 2 years. Now, does that mean that we all don't notice that, you know, is it possible that we need to probably look at, you know, getting rid of that Tuesday round of the playoffs and still, you know, take the equal amount of teams to the playoffs? You know, obviously, you know, something can be done where you can maybe take away some of the teams that go to get rid of that immediately, but I'm not sure that's the answer either. So what's happened is basically The board directed us to put together a classification committee here about a year and a half ago, and that classification committee has been working on, you know, a different system as far as to bring to the executive board and then hopefully out to the regional administrator meetings for our schools to actually see it, look at it, see whether or not it would be a benefit to them. And then football was a separate entity in that, and basically there's a whole new, you know, proposal that possibly could come out just in the sport of football, which, you know, obviously is not finalized until the executive board does so in their next meeting. So we hope that everybody takes a good look at it and kind of moves forward, and hope our administrators see it as a positive. And, you know, as we look forward, hopefully we can implement something that will help all areas and all of our classifications, and also like 3A and 8-man who plays still on that Tuesday round at this time.
Yeah, because there is an easy way to solve it immediately. That would be to just take a district champion, eliminate the runners-up, and you eliminate that round on a Tuesday. But as you said, you want to keep it the same amount of teams as you've had in the playoff system, so it takes a little bit of time to look over all that. The proposal you mentioned that would be presented out there, is that one that would be the same one that you've received from those representing 3A?
It's a little bit different, actually. Okay. It has some of the same concepts of what they want without possibly you know, splitting divisions, but maybe just redistributing some of the numbers around the state. And what they look like is trying to keep some equal ratio all the way through the different classifications, so that one can't say, well, we've got more ratio than somebody else. And you know, again, we don't know whether or not that will be you know, accepted by the executive board to go to the regional meetings, but we are obviously hopeful that we can move forward a little bit and continue to try to progress the best we can.
If that particular proposal or any other one would be agreed upon, what would be the soonest that could be implemented? Would it be next season or 2 years from now?
Probably, in all honesty, I would guess the next two-year cycle. Okay. Because we're in a two-year cycle currently. I say that, but who knows? Obviously, the board has the ability to make those changes because they're our governing body. So we will see what that takes place, and if they say we're going to make the change, then obviously we're going to figure out a way to make the change.
I'm sure you've heard this argument before, and that is, when in regards to classification and the amount of schools, that 6A, one way to perhaps solve having more classes or splitting 4A, 3A, 2A, or whatever it might be, is that if you move the next 16 up, I've heard that one before. So 6A of 48, 5A of 48, so forth and so on, work your way down. What's the problems with that idea?
Well, you're going to get different arguments throughout the fact that 6A is going to say, the potential of now we already have more students than any other, you know, classification. So now you've added even more students to our classification. And in reality, that student to pupil ratio, that part of it actually goes up. So, you know, there's probably not a perfect system, to be honest with you. You just try to figure out the system that is best for any particular state, because every state's systems are different. But they try to fit them to fit whatever, you know, their member associations want. And, again, we're not always going to all agree, but we will continue to try and do what's best for the student-athletes.
We're talking Mark Lentz, Assistive Executive Director of the Kansas State High School Activities Association. I think the playoff system in Kansas in regards to football, I think it's pretty good. I don't have a lot of argument with it. And like you said, there's no perfect system. Have there been different things that have been brought up to you guys about tweaking the playoff system and determining who qualifies for the playoffs? For instance, let's say you have, and this happened, of course, when you had just district champions making it. Then there's a team that's 8-1 and they lost the last game. They didn't make the playoffs. Well, you could have a district where, and I'm sure it's happened many times before already, where you have a 4-team district and there, it's loaded, it's stacked, and then you got this weak district in another corner of the state, and a team that's 7-2 doesn't make it to the playoffs. I know Nebraska, I don't know if they still have it, but when I lived up there a long time ago, they had a strength of schedule component, so forth and so on. Have those been some discussions you guys have had year in and year out?
You got different things that continue to be talking. I know the classification committee talked about some of this as well. But, you know, that's still a difficult process in a lot of ways. 5A, 6A this year, they're in actually a different system started this year for this two-year cycle. But that's really different than anything we've done over the last 30 years because they are not in district this year. And I think some of the other classifications are going to look to see whether or not this is a successful system and maybe come back and ask for something like that in a postseason scenario. Basically, those two classifications scheduled their first eight games. Instead of playing a nine-game season, they're playing an eight-game regular season schedule. And then we are keeping track of win-loss percentage, 21-point margin of victory or loss, and that little distribution. And looking at all of that as we go through those eight games, and then we'll feed them 1 through 16 in the East, 1 through 16 in the West, in both of those classifications. And then week nine, they start bracket play. And then that first week, the regional will be the same as always. That doesn't change. That becomes the same scenario they're currently in right now.
Is that something you could do in other classifications, or would it require to have a split in those other classifications?
Yeah, I think it's something you look at. Obviously, it did take some numbers and those type of things from schools you have in the classification. So, yeah, I think some of those things are on the table as far as looking at it and seeing how many people we have in a classification. When I say people, I mean schools. So, well, I think we've got to continue to look at different things.
Okay, what's the biggest challenge that you deal with in your job with Keisha? Is it the geography part and schools consolidating and changing all the time, or is it something else?
No, geography-wise, it creates a lot of challenges. You know, you talked about earlier where you may have four teams, you may be in a district that may seem somewhat stacked by a lot of people's thoughts, but in reality, they're geographically right next to each other, and sometimes that does happen because that is part of the assigning of districts. We have to keep, geography involved quite a bit because, don't want to increase costs in a budget-cutting, time frame right now to where you're asking people to travel longer distances. And obviously it's a lot different in the western part of the state than it is the eastern part of the state, but you try to keep them both equal in what you try to establish.
I want to go back to one thing I forgot to ask you earlier, and that is back to the three games in 10 days. Because I think a lot of people have asked me this, and I mentioned it earlier when we were talking with you about that. That's been going on for a long time, three games in 10 days. And now with the more of a focus on the safety and the national news all over about football and concussions and this and that, are you surprised that that hasn't been more of a sticking point over the years of playing three games in 10 days? And as part of Keisha, is it your job to say, wait a minute, we got to do something because that's ridiculous playing three games in 10 days? Or does Keisha look at it as, hey, if the members come to us and want to change it, then we will consider and talk about it?
Yeah, I think we've always got to be open to that possibility of change. And I understand what the questions are and why they're asked about the 10 days or three games in 10 days. And in reality, it's probably a little bit difficult to heal up with some of your bumps and bruises, those types of things. You probably aren't hitting a lot in practice at that time of year anyway.
Yeah.
Because you are trying to get healthy and stay healthy, and you have your offenses in, you have your game preparation in, you've already worked on tackling, those type of things. Yes, does it change the way, with some of our practice limitations today, does it change probably how you go about practicing? Yeah, I think it does. And a lot of people are having to really think out of the box a little bit, and change of what they do. But, again, I think that's why the classification committee, is, as they look forward as well, is looking at a way to possibly eliminate that possibility in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, with some of these schools, as and we were talking about 8-man and 3A, your enrollments are going down, or you're having less kids are on the football team. And then if you get these injuries to some of these teams, obviously, in three games in 10 days, it makes it a little bit tougher. Plus, you're playing better competition as you go through that route of games. But I totally understand what you're saying. And it sounds like you guys certainly are going to be addressing that and talking about that here in the future as well. Okay, time for an off-the-wall question, Mark, before I let you go.
Okay.
We were talking about officiating. Have you ever officiated anything yourself? That's the first question.
Okay. I came from the coaching world, so I was not an official, so I had quite a learning curve, to be honest, when I took this position, because, you know, a lot of people probably think that coaches spend a lot of time reading the rule book. In reality, that's probably not the case. You know, they understand the rules. They understand the game. Obviously, the X's and O's of the game. But the intricacies of the rules, probably not as much as I thought I did. And, you know, these 6 years has been quite a learning curve, but I feel like I've kind of gotten a lot better handle on that. And now, you know, I go to watch a football game. I tend to watch the officials a lot more than I do the game, which is complete opposite than I did as a coach.
So I'm guessing you appreciate what they do more than when you were a coach.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like I tell people, I don't think an official, you know, wakes up every morning or goes to a game and says, I'm going to try to make a mistake today so someone yells at me. Just like the head coach doesn't try to call plays that don't work, so their fans will yell at them as no kid goes out to run the wrong play as well. So everybody's going to make mistakes no matter what. I think the key here is that no matter what of those three positions you're in, that you just don't try to make the same mistakes over and over.
Okay, so our final off-the-wall question. If you could pick any sport to officiate, what sport would you like to officiate?
It would be football, to be honest, and for many reasons. One is that there's a lot of the intricacies of the game, and the fact that, you know, it's a game, obviously, that I've been involved in for a long, long time. So I appreciate what it does, and the fact also, and I don't mean this in any kind of a negative way, but you are a little ways away from the fans in the sport of football versus
yes.
the sport of basketball. And you've got time to see a play develop in football, where in basketball, you know, I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for those individuals that officiate that sport, because they've got to make calls right then and now, you know, especially on those block charge type calls. So, again, I just think football offers a great deal for people to, and a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice, and I think it's well worth it.
Yeah, football, you got time to regroup a little bit between plays, whereas basketball, like you said, it's a quicker pace. That makes sense to me totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so where are you headed now? You said you're on the road. Where are you going now?
Well, I've got a meeting tonight. I started my little tour of Southeast Kansas, actually, so I'm going to have a little meeting in a high school. Going to talk a little bit about different things with a couple of administrators, and then I'm off to shoot tonight for a rules meeting there.
You sound like you're somebody that's running for office. You're just stopping at all these towns.
You know what? Anytime you can talk sports and how it benefits kids and those type of things, I think that's always important.
Well, we appreciate all the hard work you guys put in at Keisha, and I think the reason I wanted you on today is I think there are times where, yeah, obviously you guys are there and you are dealing with a lot of different issues a lot of people aren't aware of, and it's good to get your perspective and your side of things on what's taking place so that we can best educate everybody out there that there's always different things to consider instead of just automatically, hey, let's put in a new playoff system. Well, it's not quite that easy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it is important that you have a system established with a large board, because if you just made changes on, you know, flying at the seat of your pants, I think that would create more problems.
Mark, safe travels. Thanks for the time, and maybe we'll be talking to you again later on in the football season.
Yeah. All right, thank you for what you do.
Thanks for what you do. Take care, Mark.
Uh-huh.
That's Mark Lentz, the Assistant Executive Director of the Kansas State High School Activity Association, our guest today on the Sports Ticket.